And some other big news coming out of Big D from 105.3 The Fan. Let's bring in on the Ackerman Security Hotline, Jared Sandler. Jared, good afternoon.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Appreciate your time. And before we get to the Texas Rangers there, the ball club, let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott in the news. Reports coming out of your radio station, as a matter of fact, 105.3 The Fan, breaking it in Dallas, that Ezekiel Elliott allegedly involved in an altercation at a bar, a club. What kind of news can you give us right now on that updated story?
Yeah, as of right now, you know, the police reports are pretty vague. The guy who got punched says that, according to the report, he doesn't know who punched him, but there are multiple eyewitnesses who indicated on Twitter, you know, in the world we live in last night, that Zeke punched someone. As a matter of fact, I remember right before I went to bed, I saw someone retweet some random person tweet about Zeke punching someone, and I don't know, you know, I vaguely remember seeing that. I went to bed, and then I wake up, and it's a story. So I think the big concern here, obviously, is what happened and kind of getting that all sorted out. But just from a Zeke standpoint, just a few days ago, it was broken that he's probably going to get suspended to start the season for a domestic violence incident that took place, I think, around 18 months ago. And, you know, this is a guy who's been in the spotlight for a while now. You know, he played football at Ohio State. It's not like you're free of the spotlight playing collegially there. He just finished his rookie season, yet he's continuing to make poor decisions. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we live in a world where people are going out and trying to provoke such behavior. That's kind of the gist people are conveying, is that someone kind of went out of their way to provoke Zeke. Whether or not that's true, Zeke's got to be better than that. He's got to realize that the spotlight's on him more than it is the average person who's going out. And, you know, it's an alarming string of bad decisions for a guy who the Cowboys are building a lot of their hopes around.
Well, and the idea is, and we were talking about earlier, is the world's changed, man. You know, with everybody with a phone and with video and taking pictures. And plus today, you know, 25, 30 years ago, you know, athletes were protected a lot by society or whatever the case. Now, like you said, you know, people provoke them. Hit me, I'll get a neck brace, make me some dough, I'll get my 15 minutes of fame. And that's one thing all these, not just Elliott, but a lot of these young professional athletes have to understand, is you go out, man, you guys, like you said, you got to be better than that now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, we'll see, I guess, what comes of this. You know, he's young, but again, I think what's concerning is he's not some guy from a D3 school who all of a sudden is in the spotlight.
It's right.
A guy who played in big games at one of the premier college football programs where the spotlight is on you. And, you know, that's not changing now that he's with the Cowboys in the NFL, but, you know, especially with the Cowboys. And he's got to do better. And, you know, frankly, there are people who spend a lot more time around him than I do who are concerned about his ability to constantly make the right decision. And that's, you know, that's the thing here. This isn't like, hey, as long as you make the right decision 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be okay. He's got to make the right decision 100 times out of 100 times. There are a lot of people who have concerns, and I based on track record, they seem legitimate that, you know, he's going to be able to make the right decision 100 times out of 100 moving forward, you know, while he's with the Cowboys.
Jared Sandler joining us here. Vinny and Haney, Terry Ford in for Vinny today. Bob Haney with you on this Monday. Jared's with 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Does the Texas Rangers pre- and post-game. Texas in town starting tonight. 4-game series against the Orioles. Looking at the American League standings, Texas right now 2.5 out of the second wild card. We were talking earlier, Jared, about the Orioles and what their MO is going to be in the next couple of weeks. Where are the Rangers in regards to buying, selling, and all the fun stuff we always talk about come trade deadline?
Yeah, you know, so obviously anything can change. If the Rangers were to collapse over the next couple of weeks, or heck, you know, if they were to drop before the series, that maybe we're talking about a different narrative. But right now it seems as if they're intent on incrementally buying. You know, they don't have the assets that they've had in years past to go out and steal the deadline and make, you know, one or two headline moves. They just don't have that. But they probably are going to be a team that's going to go out and try and add a few bullpen pieces. Now, you know, the discussion is interesting because they've got a number of sellable assets. I don't know how valuable those assets are, but they have a number of veterans who are in the last year of their deal, namely Yu Darvish. I think the Quintana deal kind of woke some people up, you know, not necessarily in the Rangers front office, but people talking heads here that if a guy who's got 3.5 years of control is able to get 2 top 100 guys, Yu Darvish with 2 months of control is probably only going to be able to get you 1 top 100 type prospect, depending on who you're dealing with. Now, desperation can obviously cause teams to do some crazy stuff, but I just don't think the Rangers feel like, unless they're out of it, selling is going to be worth punting on a legitimate playoff push. They're not in the driver's seat like they've been each of the last 2 years, especially last year. But I feel like, with Cole Hamels back and pitching well, the front office is going to try and help the bullpen out as much as they can. But again, one bad week and it's a totally different conversation. And then Yu Darvish, Andrew Cashner, Carlos Gomez, Jonathan Lucroy, who probably will get traded anyway, by the way, but all of these guys would be on the block. As of now, I think that the Rangers are just trying to figure out how they can help out their bullpen.
And, the Orioles were talking this similar way a week or two ago. Now, obviously, things have kind of taken a dark turn. But, the Rangers are sitting right now, 2.5 out of the wild card, basically, 3 out in the loss column or whatever. And like you said, you're a good week away, the Rangers are, of pushing themselves in one of the 2 wild card spots. But so even though they're a billion games out in the division, the wild card dangles there for them. And really, it's just the bullpen. Just by looking at stats, it just feels like the bullpen's been the biggest letdown. So if you can do something there, then maybe your conversation changes and you can make a run at what is a wide-open wild card.
Yeah, and, the bullpen has been a tremendous letdown. The fact that there's a team over in New York that's blown more saves than the Rangers is baffling. Just watching the Rangers every game and seeing how many saves this team's blown and how many tie games the bullpen has let get away. And I'd say the other thing defensively, the Rangers are not great. Defense certainly cost them yesterday. And I just don't know how much they're going to be able to improve that because some of their defensive liabilities are guys you're just not going to take out of the lineup. The bullpen, the starting pitching's overachieved. And they've overachieved pretty much without Cole Hamels a part of the mix. And when he was healthy prior to the All-Star break, prior to the 2 starts leading up to the All-Star break, he wasn't very good. So I think, what you look at the team's record, almost 100 games in, 90 games in, and you kind of wonder, they are who they are. Well, yeah, but for the Rangers, they've had significant players out due to injury for significant amounts of time. Adrian Beltre missed 2 months. Carlos Gomez, who has actually been really good for this team, missed about 5 weeks. Cole Hamels missed about 2 months. Those are key players who haven't been a part of the mix. But as you mentioned, the bullpen, they've had relative sad health there with the bullpen. They've just had a bunch of guys who have not been good this year who were really good last year. So if they can get that bullpen right, they have a fighting chance. But they've got a lot of work. It's not just one piece. And, heck, it might not even just be 2 pieces. They might need to add 3 guys to improve this bullpen because they not only lack a guy to just shut down the 9th inning, they also lack depth in the bullpen, and when a starter doesn't go deep, the 6th and 7th innings have killed them because, they're obviously not going to go with one of their 2 best guys, and everyone else after that's been incredibly shaky. So they need help at the end, and they need help at the beginning of the bullpen, too.
Jared, you get to see the Orioles tonight here in Baltimore. What are your impressions? How disappointing are they from afar in your eyes at 42-49? And since they started 22-10, they've had one of the worst records in baseball at 20-39.
Yeah, so, it's weird how the schedule works. Obviously, this is going to be the first time we'll see the Orioles this year. And just following them from afar, obviously one of the big talking points going into the year was the rotation, right? And that seems to be an issue just looking at numbers. I did see that prior to yesterday, they were last in staff ERA. They're now 29, so I guess they're moving on up. That's a good thing.
But that's a good one.
I guess obviously the bullpen's not as dominant as it was last year. Certainly Zach Britton's injury hasn't helped that, and Darren O'Day as well. But, it's still like I look at the lineup, and I'm sure a lot of people do this, and it's fool's gold, but it's still an intimidating lineup, even if certain guys aren't performing as well. I'm curious to see Manny Machado because, he's such a tremendous talent. It doesn't seem like he's having nearly as good of a year this season, with the exception of when runners are in scoring position. So I'm excited to see Trey Mancini for the first time. But I'm curious to see what Manny Machado looks like and whether or not I see a guy whose number is who's performing the way his number suggests he's performing.
Jared Sandler covers the Texas Rangers for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Jared, we appreciate your time. Have fun down at Camden Yards this week, and we'll catch up soon.
Thank you, man.
All right, fellas. Thank you for having me.
All right. Jared Sandler covers the Texas Rangers, as we said, for 105.3 The Fan, the station that broke the news about Ezekiel Elliott.